thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've sent out this fundraising email right. to the community. Can you explain a little bit about the change that has occurred in the funding for the shelter that led to this appeal?
For a number of years, and up until last November, we were pretty much solely funded by the Aspen Valley Medical Foundation. Then it became the Aspen Valley Foundation. But in November, they realized that they were going to cut loose both the Hope Center and Aspen Homeless Shelter and put us on our own fundraising campaign. And so we did that initially, and we did very well. We were really impressed with the community support for us. And yet we raised, you know, half our budget in a few weeks. But now we're trying to raise the other half for this year. And we really want to look at our long-term sustainability. I mean, this problem is not going to go away. We're going to help a lot of people this month or currently. But there'll be other people here who fall on hard times or come out of the woodwork that are going to need our services. So,
in a year, how many homeless people do you serve there?
The year 2013, we served 119 separate individuals. Now, that doesn't mean there's 119 in the day center or overnight every night, but that's how many separate individuals were served in that period of time.
And I know one question that occurred to me and has been asked before is, why there's no overnight shelter during parts of the year?
Two reasons. The first one is really easy, budget. Second reason being that it's the grace of St. Mary Catholic Church and Father Hilton, formerly Father O'Brien, who helped us out that way. And it's in line with the Catholic Church's mission to keep people from being outdoors at night. But they can't do it all year long. And we do, by law, have to have it supervised, and we have to pay staff to be there overnight for both everybody's safety and for just being legit. So, you know, our budget, we thought, should be best spent in those 4 months of the year where it's coldest. But as you all know, living in Aspen, particularly on the ground at night, like I like to say in that little email blast we sent out, you know, there's only two seasons for the homeless, winter and the 4th of July. And that was a kind of a play off the old joke I heard when I first moved here. You know, it's like there's two seasons here, winter and the 4th of July.
Okay, so the homeless are criminals, mentally ill, not working because they don't want to. Are those some of the myths that you hear about the homeless?
Just like your coworkers, you know?
Yes. Right? Same, I mean, isn't that what people say about the homeless?
It is.
What is the reality?
Well, certainly there's myths. Partly that's promulgated by the people you see on the corner of 133 who are living rough and look a little rough, and they don't get showers regularly. They don't have a place to do their laundry. In reality, we have a pretty well-scrubbed and pretty competent group of people here who are on hard times. Now, I'm not going to say that there aren't a couple or, you know, some small percentage of mental health cases that are, you might call, pretty unemployable. And there's some people with the substance use problems. But having once been the director of the residential treatment center here in Aspen, they called ARU, some people will remember that, we're pretty hot on helping people take a look at that. Now, we're not a licensed treatment center or anything like that, but we have our policies, and they can't come in there unless they're blowing less than a .08 and they're behaving appropriately.
And I will also add, you provide a place where a person can take a shower and wash their clothes, and that's very important.
Yeah, and get a warm meal every day and snacks during the day if they're hungry. Our mission is about not having anybody freeze to death or really get sick from being outdoors all the time, and that nobody in Pitkin County should go hungry. We've got people who are on hard times that still have a place to live for now, but if they're hurting for cash and they want to come in there for our free meal, we don't turn them away. And our criteria is, you know, if you got the courage to show up amidst whatever embarrassment a lot of people have about being in hard times, we don't ask for, you know, some kind of vetting of your financial situation. If you want to come and help eat some of Kathy Scootley's Cajun cooking, we're happy to have you there just to, as comrades for everybody.
Tell me a story that is indicative of how assistance with a place to stay, a place to take a shower, a meal, later gave that person a step up to get back into the mainstream?
Well, one person comes to mind who was eager to get a job in security, but he didn't have the black shoes, he didn't have the all-black outfit, black uniform and everything that he was going to need. So we hooked him up with the thrift store, a couple of trips down there, found the clothing he needed. Of course, he could come into our place and get his resume together with help from some of our staff, use the internet to look for particular jobs, and just basically close the gap on all those things that would normally discourage a person from even trying. You know, get a little bit of pep talk. I've even given people recommendations wholeheartedly that I've seen them work. I've seen their level of dedication to really trying to find work, and I don't feel bad about writing a letter saying, you know, of all the guys I know down here, this particular person or woman would be a good risk for you to hire.
When you're out fundraising for a homeless shelter, is it difficult, and if so, why?
I'd say the most difficult thing is to basically dispel the myths that homeless people are, as you said, starting out, a bunch of worthless, shiftless people that are not motivated to do anything. They're all mentally ill or all drug addicts or whatever. Because, you know, I understand that. If people are going to give, and it feels good to give, but people want to give to a cause that they know is worthy. And so what we really do is we provide that intermediate level of saying, you know, people have asked me, should I give to the guys on the corner of the street? And I go, that's really up to you. But a lot of the people in the field of homeless work suggest now that you give to the shelters, because then you've got this professional level of people saying, we're going to make sure the money you give is spent well.
I've heard stories where sometimes people don't want to stay in a shelter because they're afraid that something might be stolen. Is that the case more in a larger city as opposed to the shelter that you run?
Well, homelessness in general is a high-stress way to live. You've got everything you own on your back, or in some cases in your car, or in some cases even in a storage unit where you sneak in and sleep at night. But, you know, it's hard to keep track of your stuff. And, you know, people lose their IDs. They, you know, start all over again with the birth certificate. And now in these days of Homeland Security, it's triply hard to get all your stuff, you know, reconstituted. So I think the homeless shelter is a very safe place to be. In fact, the answer to one of the reasons of why are people in Aspen homeless, I mean, we got 7 months or 9 months of winter here. Let's be real. Why aren't they in Santa Monica or Hawaii? Well, there are a lot of people in those places. But one of the things that helps the people in Aspen, most of whom are from here, have grown up here, or at least worked decades here, not the people off of I-70 that are hitching from Chicago to L.A. that people imagine, the thing is the safety. It may be colder, but through services like ours, they are in some ways much safer. There's not a lot of bushwhackers here. There's not a lot of people getting rolled, you know, here, if anybody. I think we had one case down towards Glenwood several years ago of some high school kids that were ill-advised, went out and beat somebody up. But that's very rare. So, and the thing is, people identify with the community they grew up in or that they've been with for a long time.
Well, we started out excuse me. I know we started out and you said you wanted to talk about some myths. Is this a myth? If you make this very comfortable shelter in Aspen, Colorado, all of a sudden all those homeless people from Denver are going to be moving here. Is that a myth?
You remember the film Field of Dreams, right? If you build it, they'll come. I call it Field of Nightmares. In other words, if you have a nice program, even if you don't build a building, but if you have a nice program, is it going to draw all these folks? We have found that that is just not the case. The people we get that are from somewhere else usually came here for X Games or some other seasonal kind of thing where they felt the work was there. Or they came here for regular jobs and found out how high the cost of housing was here and went, wow, they didn't tell me about that. And then with off-season, more marginal employment, people can't always make it through the off-season. There are probably those that work full-time during winter or summer seasons who could make it that at that amount of time. But if you have to save up $3,500 to $4,500 for first, last, and deposit and then face not much income during the off-season, some people have kind of gotten to the point where it's, you know, it's not worth trying. But there's another myth, and that is homeless people want to be homeless. Very, very rarely. It is a lot of work camping out 365 days a year or 8 months a year here because we've got the overnight shelter.
We could talk all day, but yeah. I recall that the homelessness problem really exploded in the Reagan administration. Is that just my memory or is that the case?
I think that's accurate. When they did a lot of defunding of state mental health institutions and turned a lot of people loose on the theory that with a little bit of medical support, meds, in other words, they could make it on their own. The problem with that legislation was that it was supposed to allow for a lot of beefing up of the funding for community mental health centers, and that never really came around. So it's like, we're turning you all loose. Don't worry, there'll be support. And then the support wasn't there.
Is there a solution to homelessness?
Well, probably who was it? Charles Dickens or someone said, the poor will always be among us. I don't know what pundit said that. But I think there's always going to be people that are on the edge. But the numbers we have now, I think there is a solution. I think that in bigger cities, we find a lot of people with the Housing First strategy where they can find the funding for some really low cost but reasonable and safe housing that they've discovered that once housed, people's mental health, people's physical health, people's motivation to work and all of that stuff tremendously improves. So, yeah, I think that's the path of solution. But in this particular county, we have a real problem with low-cost real estate. Now, there's been some talk about funding and getting some property from the city and finding some guardian angels, as we like to call them, maybe funding something called a Helen Clandridge Center or something like that, where we could do both homeless services and other emergency transitional housing services, domestic violence, hideouts, and other things. And I would love to be part of that, but it's a big project to get that rolling, but we're talking about it.
So what is the budget to house at least temporarily 120 people a year, and what is your goal for this round of fundraising?
Our goal is really to raise $120,000 to see us through the end of this year. Our annual budget is about twice that, $240,000. It's more expensive for us in the winter months because we are paying those staff to you. And I know Father Hilton just told me the other day, he's the president of my board, that they're going to be doing a huge remodel for the Catholic Church, a big one. And so I'm not sure how that's going to impact our place. Yeah. Now, the community church as well, Pastor Jane there has opened her doors to us too, but whether that's going to be available all 4 months or not, we don't know. So we're always kind of living like the homeless live, with a little bit of uncertainty, which is stressful.
Yeah. So $125,000, do you have a deadline for that, or is this?
Yeah, we want to keep the money coming in before we spend it. That's our deadline, but no. Yeah. But seriously, we put this email blast out yesterday to people we thought were people with conscience and compassion. And we have already had a bunch of responses. I've had people walking into my office today, the next day, handing me checks. We're still looking for those really wonderful people who want to give and are looking for the right cause. And my job is really to help people see that this is not what sometimes myth would dictate as a hopeless cause, that there's a lot of hope here and that it's a reasonable thing to do to improve your community. And I usually don't hesitate to say that, you know, there's two sides to this. There's the human, you know, compassion side, which is people shouldn't be freezing and we want to help people that are really miserable. But it helps the community too, because in communities where there isn't any kind of homeless program, libraries, the emergency room, the police get inundated with problems that are somehow tied to homelessness. Whereas here, if you talk to the police, if you talk to the sheriff's office, if you talk to the ER, and if you talk to the people at the library, they'll say, wow, since you started that day and evening program, our problems are noticeably less. Even people that have art galleries and don't want every person on the street that's just hungry in there, you know, we have provided an alternative that is a lot more than just the alternative. It's a service. So that's what we're about.
Well, Dr. Savage, thank you.
You're quite welcome.